The Holy War, Chapter 14. The plot discovered by Mr. Prywell. But now, as Shaddai would have it, there was one whose name was Mr. Prywell, a great lover of the people of Mansoul. And he, as his manner was, did go listening up and down in Mansoul to see, and to hear, if at any time he might, whether there was any design against it or no. For he was always a jealous man, and feared some mischief sometime would befall it, either from the Diabolonians within, or from some power without. Now upon a time it so happened as Mr. Prywell went listening here and there, that he lighted upon a place called Vihil in Mansoul, where Diabolonians used to meet. So hearing a muttering, you must know that it was in the night he softly drew near to hear. Nor had he stood long under the house end, for there stood a house there. But he heard one confidently affirm that it was not or would not be long before Diabolus should possess himself again of Mansoul, and that then the Diabolonians did intend to put all Mansoulians to the sword, and would kill and destroy the king's captains, and drive all his soldiers out of the town. He said, moreover, that he knew there were about 20,000 fighting men prepared by Diabolus for the accomplishing of this design, and that it would not be months before they all should see it. When Mr. Prywell had heard this story, he did quickly believe it was true, wherefore he went forthwith to my Lord Mayor's house, and acquainted him therewith, who, sending for the subordinate preacher, brake the business to him, and he as soon gave the alarm to the town, for he was now the chief preacher in Mansoul, because as yet my lord's secretary was ill at ease. And this was the way that the subordinate preacher did take to alarm the town therewith. The same hour he caused the lecture bell to be rung, so the people came together. He gave them then a short exhortation to watchfulness, and made Mr. Prywell's news the argument thereof. For, said he, an horrible plot is contrived against Mansoul, even to massacre us all in a day. Nor is this story to be slighted, for Mr. Prywell is the author thereof. Mr. Prywell was always a lover of Mansoul, a sober and judicious man, a man that is no tattler, nor raiser of false reports, but one that loves to look into the very bottom of matters, and talks nothing of news, but by very solid arguments. I will call him, and you shall hear him your own selves. So he called him, and he came and told his tale so punctually, and affirmed its truth with such ample grounds, that Mansoul fell presently under a conviction of the truth of what he said. The preacher did also back him, saying, sirs, it is not irrational for us to believe it, for we have provoked Shaddai to anger, and have sent Emmanuel out of the town. We have had too much correspondence with Diabolonians, and have forsaken our former mercies. No marvel then if the enemy, both within and without, should design and plot our ruin. And what time like this to do it? The sickness is now in the town, and we have been made weak thereby. Many a good-meaning man is dead, and the Diabolonians of late grow stronger and stronger. Besides, quoth the subordinate preacher, I have received from this good truth-teller this one inkling further, that he understood by those that he overheard, that several letters have lately passed between the Furies and the Diabolonians, in order to our destruction. When Mansoul heard all this, and not being able to gainsay it, they lift up their voice and wept. Mr. Prywell did also, in the presence of the townsmen, confirm all that their subordinate preacher had said. Wherefore they now set afresh to bewail their folly, and to a doubling of petitions to Shaddai and his son. They also break the business to the captains, high commanders, and men of war in the town of Mansoul, entreating of them to use the means to be strong, and to take good courage, and that they would look after their harness, and make themselves ready to give Diabolus battle, by night and by day, shall he come, as they are informed he will, to beleaguer the town of Mansoul. When the captains heard this, they being always true lovers of the town of Mansoul, what do they? But like so many Samsons, they shake themselves, and come together to consult and contrive how to defeat those bold and hellish contrivances that were upon the wheel, by the means of Diabolus and his friends, against the now sickly, weakly, and much impoverished town of Mansoul. And they agreed upon these following particulars. 1. That the gates of Mansoul should be kept shut, and made fast with bars and locks, and that all persons that went out, or came in, should be very strictly examined by the captains of the guards, to the end, said they, that those that are managers of the plot amongst us may there, coming or going, be taken, and that we may also find out who are the great contrivers amongst us of our ruin. 2. The next thing was, that a strict search should be made for all kind of Diabolonians throughout the whole town of Mansoul, and every man's house from top to bottom should be looked into, and that too, house by house, that if possible a further discovery might be made of all such among them as had a hand in these designs. 3. It was further concluded upon, that wheresoever or with whomsoever any of the Diabolonians were found, that even those of the town of Mansoul that had given them house and harbor, should to their shame, and the warning of others, take penance in the open place. 4. It was, moreover, resolved by the famous town of Mansoul, that a public fast, and a day of humiliation should be kept throughout the whole corporation, to the justifying of their prince, the abasing of themselves before him for their transgressions against him, and against Shaddai his father. It was further resolved, that all such in Mansoul as did not on that day endeavor to keep that fast, and to humble themselves for their faults, but that should mind their worldly employs, or be found wandering up and down the streets, should be taken for Diabolonians, and should suffer as Diabolonians for such their wicked doings. 5. It was further concluded then, that with what speed, and with what warmth of mind they would renew their humiliation for sin, and their petitions to Shaddai for help. They also resolved to send tidings to the court of all that Mr. Prywell had told them. 6. It was also determined that thanks should be given by the town of Mansoul to Mr. Prywell for his diligent seeking of the welfare of their town, and further, that forasmuch as he was so naturally inclined to seek their good, and also to undermine their foes, they gave him a commission of scoutmaster general, for the good of the town of Mansoul. When the corporation, with their captains, had thus concluded, they did as they had said. They shut up their gates, they made for Diabolonians strict search, they made those with whom many were found to take penance in the open place. They kept their fast, and renewed their petitions to their prince, and Mr. Prywell managed his charge, and the trust that Mansoul had put in his hands, with great conscience, and good fidelity, for he gave himself wholly up to his employ, and that not only within the town, but he went out to pry, to see, and to hear. And not many days after, he provided for his journey, and went towards Hellgate Hill, into the country where the doubters were, where he heard of all that had been talked of in Mansoul, and he perceived also that Diabolus was almost ready for his march. So he came back with speed, and calling the captains and elders of Mansoul together, he told them where he had been, what he had heard, and what he had seen. Particularly, he told them that Diabolus was almost ready for his march, and that he had made old Mr. Incredulity, that once break prison in Mansoul, the general of his army, that his army consisted all of doubters, and that their number was above 20,000. He told, moreover, that Diabolus did intend to bring with him the chief princes of the infernal pit, and that he would make them chief captains over his doubters. He told them, moreover, that it was certainly true that several of the Black Den would with Diabolus ride reformata to reduce the town of Mansoul to the obedience of Diabolus their prince. He said, moreover, that he understood by the doubters, among whom he had been, that the reason why old Incredulity was made general of the whole army, was because none truer than he to the tyrant, and because he had an implacable spite against the welfare of the town of Mansoul. Besides, said he remembers the affronts that Mansoul has given, and he is resolved to be revenged of them. But the black princes shall be made high commanders, only Incredulity shall be over them all, because, which I had almost forgot, he can more easily, and more dexterously beleaguer the town of Mansoul than can any of the princes besides. Now when the captains of Mansoul, with the elders of the town, had heard the tidings that Mr. Prywell did bring, they thought it expedient, without further delay, to put into execution the laws that, against the Diabolonians, their prince had made for them, and given them in commandment to manage against them. Wherefore, forthwith a diligent and impartial search was made in all houses in Mansoul for all and all manner of Diabolonians. Now in the house of Mr. Mind, and in the house of the great Lord Wilbywill, were two Diabolonians found. In Mr. Mind's house was one Lord Covetousness found, but he had changed his name to Prudent Thrifty. In my Lord Wilbywill's house, one Lasciviousness was found, but he had changed his name to Harmless Mirth. These two the captains and elders of the town of Mansoul took, and committed them to custody under the hand of Mr. Truman, the jailer. And this man handled them so severely, and loaded them so well with irons, that in time they both fell into a very deep consumption, and died in the prison house. Their masters also, according to the agreement of the captains and elders, were brought to take penance in the open place to their shame, and for a warning to the rest of the town of Mansoul. Now this was the manner of penance in those days. The persons offending, being made sensible of the evil of their doings, were enjoined open confession of their faults, and a strict amendment of their lives. After this, the captains and elders of Mansoul sought yet to find out more Diabolonians, wherever they lurked, whether in dens, caves, holes, vaults, or where else they could, in or about the wall or town of Mansoul. But though they could plainly see their footing, and so follow them, by their track and smell, to their holds, even to the mouths of their caves and dens, yet take them, hold them, and do justice upon them, they could not. Their ways were so crooked, their holds so strong, and they so quick to take sanctuary there. But Mansoul did now with so stiff in hand rule over the Diabolonians that were left, that they were glad to shrink into corners. Time was when they durst walk openly, and in the day, but now they were forced to embrace privacy, and the night time was when a Mansoulian was their companion, but now they counted them deadly enemies. This good change did Mr. Prywell's intelligence make in the famous town of Mansoul. By this time Diabolus had finished his army, which he intended to bring with him for the ruin of Mansoul, and had set over them captains, and other field officers, such as liked his furious stomach best. Himself was Lord Paramount. Incredulity was general of his army. Their highest captains shall be named afterwards, but now for their officers, colors, and escutcheons. 1. Their first captain was Captain Rage. He was captain over the election doubters. His were the red colors. His standard-bearer was Mr. Destructive, and the great red dragon he had for his escutcheon. 2. The second captain was Captain Fury. He was captain over the vocation doubters. His standard-bearer was Mr. Darkness. His colors were those that were pale, and he had for his escutcheon the fiery flying serpent. 3. The third captain was Captain Damnation. He was captain over the grace doubters. His were the red colors. Mr. No Life bare them, and he had for his escutcheon the black den. 4. The fourth captain was Captain Insatiable. He was captain over the faith doubters. His were the red colors. Mr. Devourer bare them, and he had for an escutcheon the yawning jaws. 5. The fifth captain was Captain Brimstone. He was captain over the perseverance doubters. His also were the red colors. Mr. Burning bare them, and his escutcheon was the blue and stinking flame. 6. The sixth captain was Captain Torment. He was captain over the resurrection doubters. His colors were those that were pale. Mr. Null was his ancient bearer, and he had the black worm for his escutcheon. 7. The seventh captain was Captain Noes. He was captain over the salvation doubters. His were the red colors. Mr. Restless bare them, and his escutcheon was the ghastly picture of death. 8. The eighth captain was the Captain Sepulcher. He was captain over the glory outers. His also were the pale colors. Mr. Corruption was his ancient bearer, and he had for his escutcheon a skull and dead men's bones. 9. The ninth captain was Captain Past Hope. He was captain of those that are called the Felicity Doubters. His ancient bearer was Mr. Despair. His also were the red colors, and his escutcheon was the hot iron and the hard heart. These were his captains, and these were their forces, these were their ancients, these were their colors, and these were their escutcheons. Now, over these did the great Diabolus make superior captains, and they were in number 7, as, namely, the Lord Beelzebub, the Lord Lucifer, the Lord Legion, the Lord Apollyon, the Lord Python, the Lord Cerberus, and the Lord Belial. These 7 he set over the captains. And Incredulity was Lord General, and Diabolus was King. The Reformata also, such as were like themselves, were made some of them captains of hundreds, and some of them captains of more, and thus was the army of Incredulity completed. So they set out at Hellgate Hill, for there they had their rendezvous, from whence they came with a straight course upon their march toward the town of Mansoul. Now, as was hinted before, the town had, as Shaddai would have it, received from the mouth of Mr. Prywell the alarm of their coming before. Wherefore they set a strong watch at the gates, and had also doubled their guards. They also mounted their slings in good places, where they might conveniently cast out their great stones, to the annoyance of their furious enemy. Nor could those Diabolonians that were in the town do that hurt as was designed they should, for Mansoul was now awake. But, alas, per people, they were sorely affrighted at the first appearance of their foes, and at their sitting down before the town, especially when they heard the roaring of their drum. This, to speak truth, was amazingly hideous to hear. It fried all men 7 miles round, if they were but awake and heard it. The streaming of their colors were also terrible and dejecting to behold. When Diabolus was come up against the town, First he made his approach to your gate and gave it a furious assault, supposing, as it seems, that his friends in Mansoul had been ready to do the work within. But care was taken of that before, by the vigilance of the captains. Wherefore, missing of the help that he expected from them, and finding his army warmly attended with the stones that the slingers did sling for that I will say for the captains, that considering the weakness that yet was upon them, by reason of the long sickness that had annoyed the town of Mansoul, they did gallantly behave themselves he was forced to make some retreat from Mansoul, and to entrench himself and his men in the field, without the reach of the slings of the town. Now, having entrenched himself, he did cast up 4 mounts against the town, the first he called Mount Diabolus, putting his own name thereon, the more to affright the town of Mansoul. The other 3 he called thus, Mount Electo, Mount Magira, and Mount Isiphany, for these are the names of the dreadful furies of hell. Thus he began to play his game with Mansoul, and to serve it as doth the lion his prey, even to make it fall before his terror. But, as I said, the captains and soldiers resisted so stoutly, and did so much execution with their stones, that they made him though against stomach to retreat, wherefore Mansoul began to take courage. Now, upon Mount Diabolus, which was raised on the north side of the town, there did the tyrant set up his standard, and a fearful thing it was to behold, for he had wrought in it by devilish art, after the manner of an escutcheon, a flaming flame, fearful to behold, and the picture of Mansoul burning in it. When Diabolus had thus done, he commanded that his drummer should every night approach the walls of the town of Mansoul, and so to beat a parley. The command was to do it at a-nights, for in the daytime they annoyed him with their slings, for the tyrant said that he had a mind to parley with the now trembling town of Mansoul, and he commanded that the drums should beat every night, that through weariness they might at last, if possibly at the first they were unwilling, yet be forced to do it. So his drummer did as commanded, he arose and did beat his drum. But when his drum did go, if one looked towards the town of Mansoul, behold darkness and sorrow, and the light was darkened in the heaven thereof. No noise was ever heard upon earth more terrible, except the voice of Shaddai when he speaketh. But how did Mansoul tremble? It now looked for nothing but forthwith to be swallowed up. When this drummer had beaten for a parley, he made this speech to Mansoul. My master has bid me tell you, that if you will willingly submit, you shall have the good of the earth. But if you shall be stubborn, he is resolved to take you by force. But by that the fugitive had done beating of his drum, the people of Mansoul had bade akin themselves to the captains that were in the castle, so that there was none to regard, nor to give this drummer an answer. So he proceeded no further that night, but returned again to his master to the camp. When Diabolus saw that, by drumming, he could not work out Mansoul to his will, the next night he sendeth his drummer without his drum, still to let the townsmen know that he had a mind to parley with them. But when all came to all, his parley was turned into a summons to the town to deliver up themselves. But they gave him neither heed nor hearing, for they remembered what at first it cost them to hear him a few words. The next night he sends again, and then who should be his messenger to Mansoul but the terrible Captain Sepulchre? So Captain Sepulchre came up to the walls of Mansoul, and made this oration to the town, O ye inhabitants of the rebellious town of Mansoul. I summon you, in the name of the Prince Diabolus, that without any more ado you set open the gates of your town, and admit the great lord to come in. But if you shall still rebel, when we have taken to us the town by force, we will swallow you up as the grave. Wherefore, if you will hearken to my summons, say so, and if not, then let me know. The reason of this my summons, quoth he, is for that my lord is your undoubted prince and lord, as you yourselves have formerly owned. Nor shall that assault that was given to my lord, when Emmanuel dealt so dishonorably by him, prevail with him to lose his right, and to forbear to attempt to recover his own. Consider then, O Mansoul, with thyself, wilt thou show thyself peaceable or no? If thou shalt quietly yield up thyself, then our old friendship shall be renewed. But if thou shalt yet refuse and rebel, then expect nothing but fire and sword. When the languishing town of Mansoul had heard this summoner and his summons, they were yet more put to their dumps, but made to the captain no answer at all. So away he went as he came. But after some consultation among themselves, as also with some of their captains, they applied themselves afresh to the Lord Secretary for counsel and advice from him, for this Lord Secretary was their chief preacher, as also is mentioned some pages before. Only now he was ill at ease, and of him they begged favor in these 2 or 3 things. 1. that he would look comfortably upon them, and not to keep himself so much retired from them as formerly. Also that he would be prevailed with to give them a hearing, while they should make known their miserable condition to him. But to this he told them as before, that as yet he was but ill at ease, and therefore could not do as he had formerly done. 2. The second thing that they desired was, that he would be pleased to give them his advice about their now so important affairs, for that Diabolus was come and set down before the town with no less than 20,000 doubters. They said, moreover, that both he and his captains were cruel men, and that they were afraid of them. But to this he said, you must look to the law of the prince, and there see what is laid upon you to do. 3. Then they desired that his highness would help them to frame a petition to Shaddai, and unto Emmanuel his son, and that he would set his own hand thereto, as a token that he was one with them in it. For, said they, my lord, many a one have we sent, but can get no answer of peace. But now, surely one with thy hand unto it may obtain good for Mansoul. But all the answer that he gave to this was that they had offended their Emmanuel, and had also grieved himself, and that therefore they must as yet partake of their own devices. This answer of the Lord's secretary fell like a millstone upon them. Yeah, it crushed them so that they could not tell what to do, yet they durst not comply with the demands of Diabolus, nor with the demands of his captain. So then, here were the straits that the town of Mansoul was betwixt when the enemy came upon her. Her foes were ready to swallow her up, and her friends did forbear to help her. Then stood up my lord mayor, whose name was my lord Understanding, and he began to pick and pick, until he had picked comfort out of that seemingly bitter saying of the Lord's secretary, for thus he descanted upon it. First, said he, this unavoidably follows upon the saying of my lord that we must yet suffer for our sins. Second, but, quoth he, the words yet sound as if at last we should be saved from our enemies, and that after a few more sorrows, Emmanuel will come and be our help. Now the Lord Mayor was the more critical in his dealing with the secretary's words, because my lord was more than a prophet, and because none of his words were such but that at all times they were most exactly significant, and the townsmen were allowed to pry into them, and to expound them to their best advantage. So they took their leaves of my lord, and returned, and went, and came to the captains, to whom they did tell what my lord high secretary had said, who when they had heard it, were all of the same opinion as was my lord mayor himself. The captains therefore began to take some courage unto them, and to prepare to make some brave attempt upon the camp of the enemy, and to destroy all that were Diabolonians, with the roving doubters that the tyrant had brought with him to destroy the poor town of Mansoul. So all betook themselves forthwith to their places, the captains to theirs, the lord mayor to his, the subordinate preacher to his, and my lord will be will to his. The captains longed to be at some work for their prince, for they delighted in warlike achievements. The next day, therefore, they came together and consulted, and after consultation had, they resolved to give an answer to the captain of Diabolus with slings, and so they did at the rising of the sun on the morrow, for Diabolus had adventured to come nearer again, but the slingstones were, to him and his, like hornets. For as there is nothing to the town of Mansoul so terrible as the roaring of Diabolus' drum, so there is nothing to Diabolus so terrible as the well-playing of Emmanuel's slings. Wherefore Diabolus was forced to make another retreat, yet further off from the famous town of Mansoul. Then did the Lord Mayor of Mansoul cause the bells to be rung, and that thanks should be sent to the Lord High Secretary by the mouth of the subordinate preacher, for that by his words the captains and elders of Mansoul had been strengthened against Diabolus. When Diabolus saw that his captains and soldiers, high lords, and renowned, were frightened, and beaten down by the stones that came from the golden slings of the prince of the town of Mansoul, he bethought himself, and said, I will try to catch them by fawning, I will try to flatter them into my net. Wherefore after a while he came down again to the wall, not now with his drum, nor with Captain Sepulchre, but having all besugered his lips, he seemed to be a very sweet mouthed, peaceable prince, designing nothing for humor's sake, nor to be revenged on Mansoul for injuries by them done to him, but the welfare, and good, and advantage of the town and people therein, was now, as he said, his only design. Wherefore, after he had called for audience, and desired that the townsfolk would give it to him, he proceeded in his oration, and said, oh, the desire of my heart, the famous town of Mansoul! How many nights have I watched, and how many weary steps have I taken, if, perhaps, I might do thee good. Far be it from me, to desire to make a war upon you, if ye will but willingly and quietly deliver up yourselves unto me. You know that you were mine of old. Remember also, that so long as you enjoyed me for your lord, and that I enjoyed you for my subjects, you wanted for nothing of all the delights of the earth, that I, your lord and prince, could get for you, or that I could invent to make you bonny and blithe withal. Consider, you never had so many hard, dark, troublesome, and hard-afflicting hours, while you were mine, as you have had since you revolted from me, nor shall you ever have peace again until you and I become one as before. Be but prevailed with to embrace me again, and I will grant, yea, enlarge your old charter with abundance of privileges, so that your license and liberty shall be to take, hold, enjoy, and make your own, all that is pleasant from the east to the west. Nor shall any of those incivilities wherewith you have offended me, be ever charged upon you by me, so long as the sun and moon endureth. Nor shall any of those dear friends of mine, that now, for the fear of you, lie lurking in dens, and holes, and caves in Mansoul, be hurtful to you any more. Yea, they shall be your servants, and shall minister unto you of their substance, and of whatever shall come to hand. I need speak no more, you know them, and have sometimes since been much delighted in their company. Why then should we abide at such odds? Let us renew our old acquaintance and friendship again. Bear with your friend. I take the liberty at this time to speak thus freely unto you. The love that I have to you presses me to do it, as also does the zeal of my heart for my friends with you. Put me not therefore to further trouble, nor yourselves to further fears and frights. Have you, I will, in a way of peace or war, nor do you flatter yourselves with the power and force of your captains, or that your Emmanuel will shortly come in to your help, for such strength will do you no pleasure. I am come against you with a stout and valiant army, and all the chief princes of the den are even at the head of it. Besides, my captains are swifter than eagles, stronger than lions, and more greedy of prey than are the evening wolves. What is Og of Bashan? What is Goliath of Gath? And what is 100 more of them to one of the least of my captains? How then shall Mansoul think to escape my hand and force? Diabolus, having thus ended his flattering, fawning, deceitful, and lying speech to the famous town of Mansoul, the Lord Mayor replied to him as follows. O Diabolus, Prince of Darkness, and master of all deceit, thy lying flatteries we have had and made sufficient probation of, and have tasted too deeply of that destructive cup already. Should we therefore again hearken unto thee, and so break the commandments of our great Shaddai, to join in affinity with thee, would not our prince reject us, and cast us off forever, and being cast off by him, can the place that he has prepared for thee, be a place of rest for us? Besides, O thou that art empty and void of all truth, we are rather ready to die by thy hand, than to fall in with thy flattering and lying deceits. When the tyrant saw that there was little to be got by parleying with my lord mayor, he fell into an hellish rage, and resolved that again, with his army of doubters, he would another time assault the town of Mansoul. So he called for his drummer, who beat up for his men, and while he did beat, Mansoul did shake, to be in a readiness to give battle to the corporation. Then Diabolus drew near with his army, and thus disposed of his men. Captain Cruel, and Captain Torment, these he drew up and placed against Fieldgate, and commanded them to sit down there for the war. And he also appointed, that if need were, Captain Noyes should come in to their relief. At Nosegate he placed the Captain Brimstone, and Captain Sepulchre, and bid them look well to their ward, on that side of the town of Mansoul. But at Eygate he placed that grim-faced one the Captain Passhope, and there also now he did set up his terrible standard. Now Captain Insatiable he was to look to the carriage of Diabolus, and was also appointed to take into custody, that, or those persons and things that should at any time as prey be taken from the enemy. Now Mouthgate the inhabitants of Mansoul kept for a sally port, wherefore that they kept strong, for that it was it, by, and out at which the townsfolk did send their petitions to Emmanuel their prince. That also was the gate from the top of which the captains did play their slings at the enemies, for that gate stood somewhat ascending, so that the placing of them there, and the letting of them fly from that place, did much execution against the tyrant's army. Wherefore for these causes, with others, Diabolus sought, if possible, to land up Mouthgate with dirt. Now as Diabolus was busy and industrious in preparing to make his assault upon the town of Mansoul without, so the captains and soldiers in the corporation were as busy in preparing within. They mounted their slings, they set up their banners, they sounded their trumpets, and put themselves in such order as was judged most for the annoyance of the enemy, and for the advantage of man's soul, and gave to their soldiers orders to be ready at the sound of the trumpet for war. The Lord will be well also, he took the charge of watching against the rebels within, and to do what he could to take them while without, or to stifle them within their caves, dens, and holes, in the town wall of man's soul. And to speak the truth of him, ever since he took penance for his fault, he has showed as much honesty and bravery of spirit as any he in man's soul, for he took one Jolly, and his brother Grigish, the two sons of his servant Harmless Mirth, for to that day, though the father was committed to ward, the sons had a dwelling in the house of my lord. I say he took them, and with his own hands put them to the cross. And this was the reason why he hanged them up, after their father was put into the hands of Mr. Truman the jailer. They his sons began to play his pranks, and to be ticking and toying with the daughters of their lord. Nay, it was jealous that they were too familiar with them, the which was brought to his lordship's ear. Now his lordship, being unwilling unadvisedly to put any man to death, did not suddenly fall upon them, but set watch and spies to see if the thing was true, of the which he was soon informed, for his two servants, whose names were Find Out, and Tell All, catched them together in uncivil manner more than once or twice, and went and told their lord. So when my lord Wilbewill had sufficient ground to believe the thing was true, he takes the two young Diabolonians, for such they were, for their father was a Diabolonian born, and has them to Igate, where he raised a very high cross just in the face of Diabolus, and of his army, and there he hanged the young villains in defiance to Captain Past Hope, and of the horrible standard of the tyrant. Now this Christian act of the brave Lord Wilbewill did greatly abash Captain Past Hope, discourage the army of Diabolus, put fear into the Diabolonian renegades in Mansoul, and put strength and courage into the captains that belonged to Emmanuel the Prince, for they without did gather, and that, by this very act of my lord, that Mansoul was resolved to fight, and that the Diabolonians within the town could not do such things as Diabolus had hopes they would. Nor was this the only proof of the brave Lord Wilbewill's honesty to the town, nor of his loyalty to his prince, as will afterwards appear. Now when the children of Prudent Thrifty, who dwelt with Mr. Mind, for Thrift left children with Mr. Mind, when he was also committed to prison, and their names were Gripe and Raycall, these he begot of Mr. Mind's bastard daughter, whose name was Mrs. Holdfast Bad, I say, when his children perceived how the Lord Wilbewill had served them that dwelt with him, what do they but, lest they should drink of the same cup, endeavor to make their escape? But Mr. Mind being wary of it, took them and put them in hold in his house till morning, for this was done overnight, and remembering that by the law of Mansoul, all Diabolonians were to die, and to be sure they were at least by father's side such, and some say by mother's side too, what does he but takes them and puts them in chains, and carries them to the selfsame place where my lord hanged his two before, and there he hanged them. The townsmen also took great encouragement at this act of Mr. Mind, and did what they could to have taken some more of these Diabolonian troublers of Mansoul. But at that time the rest lay so quiet and close that they could not be apprehended. So they set against them a diligent watch, and went every man to his place. I told you a little before that Diabolus and his army were somewhat abashed and discouraged at the sight of what my lord Wilbewill did, when he hanged up those two young Diabolonians. But his discouragement quickly turned itself into furious madness and rage against the town of Mansoul, and fight it he would. Also the townsmen, and captains within, they had their hopes and their expectations heightened, believing at last the day would be theirs, so they feared them the less. Their subordinate preacher too made a sermon about it, and he took that theme for his text, Gad, a troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last, Gen 49:19. Whence he showed that though Mansoul should be sorely put to it at the first, yet the victory should most certainly be Mansoul's at the last. So Diabolus commanded that his drummers should beat a charge against the town, and the captains also that were in the town sounded a charge against them. But they had no drum, they were trumpets of silver with which they sounded against them. Then they which were of the camp of Diabolus came down to the town to take it, and the captains in the castle, with the slingers at Mouthgate played upon them amain. And now there was nothing heard in the camp of Diabolus but horrible rage and blasphemy, but in the town good words, prayer, and singing of psalms. The enemy replied with horrible objections, and the terribleness of their drum, but the town made answer with the slapping of their slings, and the melodious noise of their trumpets. And thus the fight lasted for several days together. Only now and then they had some small intermission, in the which the townsmen refreshed themselves, and the captains made ready for another assault. The captains of Emmanuel were clad in silver armor, and the soldiers in that which was of proof. The soldiers of Diabolus were clad in iron, which was made to give place to Emmanuel's engine shot. In the town, some were hurt, and some were greatly wounded. Now the worst on it was, a surgeon was scarce in Mansoul, for that Emmanuel at present was absent. Howbeit, with the leaves of a tree the wounded were kept from dying, yet their wounds did greatly putrefy, and some did grievously stink. Of these were wounded, to wit, my lord Reason, he was wounded in the head. Another that was wounded was the brave Lord Mayor, he was wounded in the eye. Another that was wounded was Mr. Mind, he received his wound about the stomach. The honest subordinate preacher also, he received a shot not far off the heart, but none of these were mortal. Many also of the inferior sort were not only wounded, but slain outright. Now in the camp of Diabolus were wounded and slain a considerable number. For instance, Captain Rage he was wounded, and so was Captain Cruel. Captain Damnation was made to retreat, and to entrench himself further off of Mansoul. The standard also of Diabolus was beaten down, and his standard-bearer Captain Muchhurt had his brains beat out with a slingstone, to the no little grief and shame of his prince Diabolus. Many also of the doubters were slain outright, though enough of them are left alive to make Mansoul shake and totter. Now the victory that day being turned to Mansoul did put great valor into the townsmen and captains, and did cover Diabolus' camp with a cloud, but withal it made them far more furious. So the next day Mansoul rested, and commanded that the bells should be rung. The trumpets also joyfully sounded, and the captains shouted round the town. My lord Wilbewill also was not idle, but did notable service within against the domestics, or the Diabolonians that were in the town, not only by keeping of them in awe, for he lighted on one at last whose name was Mr. Anything, a fellow of whom mention was made before. For it was he, if you remember, that brought the three fellows to Diabolus, whom the Diabolonians took out of Captain Boanerges' companies, and that persuaded them to list themselves under the tyrant, to fight against the army of Shaddai. My lord Wilbewill did also take a notable Diabolonian, whose name was Loosefoot. This Loosefoot was a scout to the vagabonds in Mansoul, and that did use to carry tidings out of Mansoul to the camp, and out of the camp to those of the enemies in Mansoul. Both these my lord sent away safe to Mr. Trueman, the jailer, with a commandment to keep them in irons, for he intended then to have them out to be crucified, when it would be for the best to the corporation, and most for the discouragement of the camp of the enemies. My lord mayor also, though he could not stir about so much as formerly, because of the wound that he had lately received, yet gave he out orders to all that were the natives of Mansoul to look to their watch, and stand upon their guard, and, as occasion should offer, to prove themselves men. Mr. Conscience the preacher, he also did his utmost to keep all his good documents alive upon the hearts of the people of Mansoul.